You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
It's crazy to be here with you. I once sat over there. I was this tall. And I want to thank those that have been generous to this church. I'm a fruit of the seed that you've planted, so I give you thanks. And I give you thanks also because you don't get told thank you enough. And so it's an honor to be here with you this morning. I want to start today with a little bit of a confession, and it's very simple. I'm slightly superstitious, and before you kind of try to guess at what that means, just understand it all started when I went to FBA. I was in middle school. I was here for about a year, and I had a lucky pencil. You know this pencil? It's the pencil that leads you to the right A, B, C, D, or E on test day, right? Like on test day, you do this. You have this pencil, or maybe you played sports growing up and you had a lucky pair of socks, right? Why? So that when you played the game, you look good, you play good, right? Like that was the whole point. It was all to build confidence. But it went from building confidence in routine to superstition in the fall of 2018. You see, in the fall of 2018, I started to lead vertical just before that, and I started to teach more, and I realized that every time I taught, I would wear these black Lululemon slim fit pants, right? Because in order to engage with college students, you have to look decent. You gotta have some swag, right? That's why I wore the same black pants every week. And then the other thing I started to do is in Waco, I'd go get this drink from a coffee shop before every time I spoke. So I'd drive through, I'd say, yeah, I need a hot no bull half sauce, just means half sweet. They knew what I was saying. But it would give me energy, you know, so I could be dynamic on the stage. I could keep their attention, these college students, right? I'm not like most Baptists. I can kind of dance. Which brings me to my last thing. I started to travel with a microphone because I'd show up to places like this. They'd give me an earpiece or something that looked like Britney Spears' mic, and it couldn't handle this, all right? But that was only for churches, but really the pants and the drink were my thing, and I started to MC Baylor football games. This is me at a Baylor football game. I'm wearing my slim fit Lulus. I got my drink. I tell them my name's LeBron. Don't ask why, I think it's the funniest thing in the world. That was all I did to build confidence. And that's from when I would lead at football games and Baylor men's basketball games. And it was all just to build confidence. And it went from routine and building confidence to superstition. It all went there one week at Vertical when I wore khaki pants. Sorry to everyone that's wearing khaki pants this morning, but I'm not a fan. Just so happened that we had the worst week of vertical ever. Why? My mojo, gone. Swag, out the window. My confidence, shaken. I was shook. I preached the worst sermon in the history of sermons. And you're like, man, I got to go look at this. You can't find it. I got rid of it. Deleted. I have the power. It's gone. I'm in charge. You can't find it. You know where those pants are? Goodwill. I should have trashed them so, you know, wouldn't throw anyone else's mojo off. Those pants are gone. God is moving at Baylor University and in students and in Waco, and I mean that with sincerity. But in the fall of 2018, he didn't move one week. And it was the week of the khaki pants. And I stand here before you this morning, and I start with that. Because over the last 16 months, we've had our confidence shaken. Or our confidence has been in short supply. And so it doesn't matter if you're in Siena or downtown or in Cyprus or online or here at the Loop. Some of us have had our confidence shaken. Think about how many times we've said the phrase, can you believe? Insert awful thing about politics, news, healthcare, finances, whatever your thing is that shakes you. Can you believe it? But unfortunately, we're meant to look different from the world. We're meant to stand out like a star in the night sky. That's what we're meant to be as Christians. Like, we're meant to look so distinctly different. And I know nobody in Houston knows what a star looks like, but it's supposed to be bright, right? We've missed it. And some of us, we've got to take this merciful wake-up call that our confidence is in the wrong place. And so this morning, we're going to answer the question, how to have unshakable confidence, provision, presence, and promise. Three P's. I grew up here in the Baptist church. I get it. 3 points, 3 P's. Let's make it easy. We're going to be in the text of Psalm 16, only verses 5 through 11, only the second half, because I only have 30 minutes here with you. I blame Greg Mott. Very grateful for him. Just not grateful for the amount of time we have. Wish he could be longer. As we turn to the text, let's pray. Father, would you use this text in this time? Would your spirit move? Lord, I pray you'd soften hearts that are distracted. Lord, I selfishly even just remember myself sitting here in this service and how I needed to be woken up. I needed to know that you love me and that you were the way that I could be reconciled because of my sin. And so, Lord, I pray that we would rightly understand the love that you have for us this morning because of this text. And would we turn to you to be our unshakable confidence? Would you use this morning to just put wind in our sails? And I pray that you would use this church, your people, to change the world. And we pray this all in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 16 is a psalm of David. David wrote it. This would have been sung. The Jewish people would have known this song. They would have sung it on the way to school or church or temple and all these different things. Like, they would have sung it to build confidence and contentment. They knew it. We should know it. I'm trying to memorize it right now if you want to join me. But that's what they knew this. They knew this text. It was very familiar to them. And the way it starts at the beginning of Psalm 16 is David just like, preserve me. That's like his version of saying, help, for in you I take refuge. Apart from you, Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing. I have no good. And then he talks about God's people. So it starts with preserve me, then God's people, and then it's God's not people, the people that don't trust in God. And then we jump into verse 5. All right, let's look to the text. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. David is saying he's my chosen portion. Like, God satisfies me. Like a portion at lunch or a cup at dinner. Like, it's sufficient. I'm full. David is satisfied with God's provision for him. Verse 6. The lines, think like boundary lines, think lot lines in real estate. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance, which brings us to our first P of the morning, which is provision. You see this lot and this lines. This isn't because David was a real estate expert, okay? Some of you got excited. Some of you are in commercial real estate or residential, and you're like, oh, lot lines. I know everything about this. I could teach this. No. This isn't what it's about. He's alluding and illustrating, hang with me, that God is sovereignly providing for all of his circumstances. He's like, God has perfectly provided for everything I have going on, just as God provided the promised land for the Israelites. This is what the Jewish people would have known. In this text, as they sang this, they would have known. Numbers 18:20 says, the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. Listen to this. God telling Aaron, I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. And David is alluding to this. He's saying, God, you're my portion. You're sufficient. Everything that you've given me is sufficient. You are all I need. I'm satisfied in you. You see, history lesson, Bible lesson. When the Jews entered into the promised land, people inherited land. It was this great gift. But there was one group who didn't get anything, short end of the stick, right? It's Aaron and the Levites and the priests, and they didn't get anything. They got the Lord. The Lord said, I am your portion. Here's the crazy thing. Here's why I go off on this tangent to start with God's provision, is because David isn't a Levite. I know maybe that's not like the thing that stands out to most of us, but this is extremely important. David is satisfied and content. The Lord is sufficient for his inheritance, both here and in eternity. He's like, I'm good. But he's not a Levite. He's in the tribe of Judah, the same tribe that in the lineage of Jesus Christ. That's how we might know of it. David is saying, just as the Levite said, we've got the Lord, and that's all we need. He's my chosen portion. He's all I need. I'm full. I'm satisfied in him. He's content with the Lord's provision in his life. You see, we're meant as God's people to have this contentment, this satisfaction with God's provision full on him. We aren't going through the world like we go through the grocery store hungry, right? We've been here before. Have you ever been to the grocery store hungry? Bad news. Terrible idea. For me, it's the same thing every time. I do the same thing. When I'm hungry, I'm going straight for the sushi. In Waco, that's the only good sushi we have, right? I'm going for the sushi. I'm hungry. Sushi. It's ready to go. Wow, sushi. And then I keep walking down the aisles. I'm always going to get Sun Chips. Anybody like Sun Chips? Those things slap, all right? Y'all go try those. Parents, slaps means they taste good, all right? Sun Chips, slap, garden salsa, don't sleep on it. Anyways, here we go. I'm getting sushi, Sun Chips, and then to feel healthy, I'm gonna go get a frozen pizza, cauliflower crust, right? Like, you know, they're weirdly good. Don't sleep on that either, all right? Sleep on that. Parents, don't think that it's not good, or I don't know how you would define that. Anyways, I don't have time to define all these terms that we use with college students. But that's what we're doing. We're going to the grocery store hungry, and we're grabbing everything. And that's the way so many of us are living. But think about, like, when we go to the grocery store hungry, but we know our pantry's full and the refrigerator's full and we're satisfied. Maybe we're not hungry, actually. We go to the grocery store, we're not hungry. All is taken care of, full, satisfied, provision. We don't need all that stuff. And that's the way we're meant to live. So many of us are unsatisfied and not content. We're just looking. So it begs the question, what is it that you look to satisfy? Think about this. Write it down in your notes. Lord, what is it that I look to satisfy? Myself? Is it my golf game? Is it my wealth? Is it social media? Is it relationships? Is it beauty? Social status? Cars? House? Some inappropriate website? Movies, attention from others, drugs, alcohol. I don't know. What is it, Lord, that I look to satisfy other than you? This should be the question that we pray. Lord, reveal it to us. Reveal it to us. David gets it. If we don't have it, we don't need it because we have the Lord. He's enough for me. And one of the hardest questions I've started to ask myself every once in a while, it's just like, if the worst and biggest fear of mine actually happened, would God still be good? If the worst, your worst fear, would God still be good? If all you had was him, would that be okay? That's something I have to wrestle with and pray through. The first P to building confidence is God's provision. Let's keep going in the text. Verses 7 and 8. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also, my heart instructs me. Let's stop right here. God is David's counselor. 1 Samuel 23, 9 through 12, if you want to look at that for homework. David knows God's word so well even that at night his heart instructs him. He like knows what God would say. And so as he's laying down in his bed at night, he's like, the Bible's just coming to mind, right? It's instructing him. He knows God so well. He's such a personal relationship with him. In this passage that I just told you about in 1 Samuel, God and David are crazy. It's like, David's like, should we go to battle, God? And God's like, yes, I will defeat your enemies. And David's like, all right, team, we're going to battle. You know, it's just like this weird, amazing relationship that David has with God. God is his counselor, and he blesses the Lord who gives him counsel. Let's keep reading. In the text, I've set the Lord always before me. And then this next phrase is where we're going to sit for a while today. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because God is at my right hand, David is saying, I will not be shaken. I want us to sit here. And I really want you to tune in. First, there's a problem here. Let's just admit it. Not all of us have this experience. God's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I'm an angel. Life's easy. I just walk around and float around like a butterfly. Like, it doesn't feel that way, right? It doesn't really feel like God's with us, and it doesn't really feel like we have security in him all the time, right? And so we're going to look at this. Like, why don't we experience this? What's the problem here? We're going to look at the three problems. The three problems to God's presence. And just to let the cat out of the bag, he's not the problem. We are. So here are the three problems within the point of presence when it comes to God's presence. The first, a friend of mine wisely has said, feelings are real, but they aren't always reliable. So you're like, I don't feel like God's with me. Well, guess what? He's omnipresent. All right? I'm like, maybe you're just wrong, right? Possibly. That's something good to know. Sometimes we're wrong. That could be it. But I think there's something even more. I want us to look to the text. The second problem isn't just the feelings. The second problem is this. Do you know the word that's used the most in Psalm 16? My. It's like, you remember? Mine, 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 mine. You remember that, right? That's kind of what it's like. David's like, my, this is my God. He's my chosen portion because he's at my right. He's right here. It's my. We see this in the text. It must be a key word. It's used so many times. You see, the second problem with God's presence is not that it's not us, or it's not that he's not omnipresent. It's that we don't know him. We don't have a personal relationship with him. We're not like, yeah, that's my God. He's mine. He's at my right hand. He is with us, but we don't have that personal relationship with him. And here's the question. Some of us are like, well, how do I know if I have a personal relationship? Think about relationships. Who are you in relationship with? Who are you friends with? How do you know you have a relationship with somebody? If you talk to them, if you spend time with them, you listen to them, here's how. How much time do you spend intentionally in God's word and in prayer? That will answer if you're in a relationship with God. I'm just saying. Is he my God to you? You see, I think this was well illustrated in the movie Elf. When Buddy the Elf was told that Santa was coming, do you remember how he responded? Santa, he's coming. This is amazing. Santa's coming. Buddy is lit, right? He can't wait. Why? His next sentence, I know him. I know him. Buddy knows Santa personally. That's big time. I know him. It's that personal relationship. Part of the reason why we don't experience God's presence and then therefore God's security is because he's not our God. That's the second problem of God's presence, is we don't know him personally. The third problem of God's presence is so many of us are stiff-arming God, right? You're like, what? Here's the deal. We're like, we want you, God. We sing you praise. We come to church. They turn the lights out, and we're like, yeah, I want to experience God. But here's the deal. We want to experience him, but we don't want to be obedient to him. We're like, God, where are you? I don't feel you. What's wrong with you? Where have you been? All that's going on. But yet we're gossips at work. Yet we're filled with pride. Y'all know pride, that God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. So we're over here like, God, where are you at? It's because we're going like this. And he's giving it back to us, honestly. When we're prideful, he opposes us. We're living in sin. We have some sort of addiction. We're like, God, where are you? Sin. From the text. Let's go back to this phrase. Because he's at my right hand. Yo, that doesn't mean much to us. But in the ancient East, if I were to say, hey, you're at my right hand, you know what that would mean? That would mean you have equal dignity to me and equal authority. Keyword, authority. The third problem to God's presence is that we don't let him be our authority. We are disobedient to him. We want to experience him, but we don't want to be obedient to him. When he's at our right hand, he's in control. And so if we haven't surrendered, we haven't humbled ourselves, we haven't picked up our cross and followed him, obeyed the scriptures, we won't get and understand his presence. And we certainly won't get the security that comes from that presence. The third problem is we're not obedient. If we want to have unshakable confidence in his presence, so we could say this phrase, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. The only way this is said is when we have a personal relationship with him. We surrender to him and allow him to be at our right hand, allow him to lead us, then we won't be shaken. And that's kind of harsh. 3 points about how you and I are wrong, right? I've got some good news for you this morning. There was this man named Jesus. He didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, so he came down in the form of a human, a servant. And he lived perfectly, sinless. He died on a cross undeservedly, like a criminal. He rose from the dead, proving that he was God, and ascended into heaven. And you know where he's seated right now? At the right hand of the Father. So you're like, man, I'm bad. I messed up. I've been shaken. I failed the test of this pandemic. Whatever it is, you feel like you're too far gone. You've already done too much. You'll never be able to. Let me just tell you, newsflash. There is one that is seated at the right hand of the Father that has the authority to forgive us of our sins. And he's seated because it's finished. And he has authority because he's at the right hand of the Father. He has all the authority. He can forgive us. He can forgive everything. He can give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in the cross of Jesus Christ. This is good news. And so if God hasn't been at your right hand, guess what? There's grace. But we got to put him there where he belongs. Where he belongs. So if you're insecure, or when I get insecure and I don't feel God's presence, I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm in a funk, right? We all have funks. What I do is I go spend time alone. I go spend time alone with the Lord, and I humble myself and I try to surrender. I get on my knees. You know, it's hard to be prideful when you're on your knees. I get on my knees. I pray. Lord, I surrender. And then what I do is I said, Lord, is there anything I haven't confessed? Any sin I haven't confessed? So maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, this is me. Like, you have to confess your sin to your community. Bring it to the light. And then Romans 13, 14 says, make no provision for sin. So what I do is I confess. I'm like, is there anything unconfessed? Let me tell my community, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm struggling with. And then we ask the question, how can we make no provision for this? How can we make sure that that sin isn't going to happen again? So if it's get rid of social media, then it's get rid of social media. Make no provision for sin. Why? Because he's at my right hand. I don't need it. Somebody else can run it. He's my authority. He's in charge. You got that drink in the fridge? Get rid of every one of them. Otherwise, you're going to go back to it. If you don't, you're just still being the authority. That's the way I had to do it. That's the way it is for me. Lord, I pray that we would experience your presence. God's provision, God's presence, and then the last P for today. Let's jump back to the text. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. This is good. This is a promise that we get on earth. Like, we're going to have joy and gladness and security. Wow. That's going to look different than the world. Let's keep reading. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. This is a promise for eternity. This is the promise of the resurrection. This is the promise that we have hope. We won't be separated from God eternally. But let's pause for a second. We need to just understand David wrote this and David died. So is the Bible lying? No. Is the Bible wrong? No. Peter in the book of Acts and Paul both tell us, hey, y'all know the Jews, y'all know about Psalm 16? Well, that's not about David. David died. I think they even had his tomb. He's saying David died. That whole thing was about the resurrected Christ. This verse is about Jesus. In fact, this whole passage is about Jesus. God will not let his Holy One see corruption. Just over 1,000 years before Jesus ever came, David said, hey, there's going to be a Messiah, and he's not going to be corrupted. He's going to raise from the dead, and he's going to be glorified with the Father. This is all about Jesus. Last verse. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The last P today is promise. And I want you to see this progression here. 10,000 foot view. When you trust in God's provision, when you're in relationship with him and in his presence, you humble yourself because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Then we get the promises. Joy and gladness and security. These are amazing things that we're meant to have. This is what we have. And some of these promises are even for later. Eternity. Think about this. Verse 10, it means we're not going to die one day because of what Jesus has done for us. We're going to raise on the day that matters. And there's pleasures forevermore. That's now and later. That's a promise for here and in eternity. But I want you to know, I think you already know this, but so many of my friends, they don't want to follow Jesus because they think it's boring. and lame and keeps you from pleasure. But you need to know this, and we need to teach others this. True pleasure, as we see it in this text, true pleasure is found at the right hand of God, not in separation from him. True pleasure is found at the right hand of God, not in separation from him. Why? Because God's not trying to rip us off. He's trying to give us life. That's why he sent his one and only son. For those of you that don't even like the idea of God, but somehow you are dragged to church today, we're glad you're here. It's good news that we have a God who wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He wants us to be in his presence. Like, this is a God who wants to relate to us. This is good news. And next to him is where pleasures are found, both here on earth and in eternity. So many of us have bought the lie of the world. Following Jesus is lame, and that's a lie. And so you and I, we don't find our confidence in ourselves or in our things, in our circumstances. It's certainly not in our black Lulu pants. It's certainly not in a cup of coffee or a microphone. I'm wearing olive pants. Aren't y'all proud of me? It's not khaki. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's not in our health, our politics, our giftings, our followings, our whatever. Our confidence isn't in any of that. And so in summary, how do we have unshakable confidence? It's in our God's provision, presence, and promise. In Houston, I want to close with something that's been near and dear to me. You see, I don't live here anymore, but I still believe something about you. Growing up here, I didn't have this vision. You need to catch this, your view of Houston. I believe this is the most strategic city in America. I don't say that about any other city. I live in a different city, and I think there's no more strategic city than Houston. You're in it. And here's why. I believe if we rightly get this unshakable confidence from God, I believe if we pass it on, it can change the world. But first, we can't pass on what we don't possess. So if anything hit home today, we got to get our confidence in the right thing. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we got to pass it on. Some of you are worried about the next generation. I work with the next generation. I'm not worried about them. Some of you are worried about Houston's expansive growth. I've driven around. Things look different. I'm not worried about the growth. I'm worried that we won't pass it on. And here's the vision that you must catch. Houston, you must pass it on to your neighbors. Why? Houston, your neighbors are the nations. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And so when you pass it on to your neighbor, you're very, very likely, I believe, it's not even likely, I believe, if you pass this on to your neighbors, it will reach the nations. There's no more strategic city in America. And so it is so important that we understand that our confidence is not found in ourselves. It's found in God and his provision and his presence as he guides us. We're surrendered to him. He leads us. And there's promises. He'll show us the path. There's pleasures there. And so, Houston, I believe you can change the world. You just need to pass it on. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you for my friends in here. Thank you for the way you're working in their lives. Thank you for bringing them here. Lord, I pray that we would have unshakable confidence in you. Would you remove the other things that we try to find confidence in? Would you even bring to mind the things that we look to give us confidence? Would you convict us by your Holy Spirit right now? Bring things to mind. And Lord, would we possess unshakable confidence in you and what you've done and who you are and how we can be in your presence and you can lead us. Lord, help us to be humble and be led by you and be in surrender. And then Lord, would you help us to pass it on to our new neighbors? Lord, I pray that passing on this unshakable confidence in who you are, Lord, I pray that it would reach the nations. I ask this boldly, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.